Hello and welcome to another episode of the Real Estate Investing Club. I'm your host, Gabe Peterson, and this is the place investors go to gain actionable advice, learn about current market trends, and hear war stories from other professional investors out there in the field today. Before we get started, I have two quick housekeeping items for you. First, if you like this episode, we would very much appreciate a like, subscribe, and share. It is the best way to support the show and keep it running far into the future. Second, if you're a new investor looking to get started in real estate or an experienced investor looking to take your investing to the next level, I've created an ebook just for you that will cover how to find deals that are actually deals, how to finance those deals with little to no money down, and how to exit those deals for maximum value. On top of that, I throw in an insane amount of free bonuses that you'll have access to once you buy the ebook. All I charge is our admin costs to keep this show running. So if you're serious about real estate investing and want to create both active and passive income as an investor, head on over to the website at therealestateinvestingclub.com and click on the button that says get the ebook in the upper right-hand corner to grab yourself a copy. With that said, let's dive right in. Today, we have a very special guest with us ready to drop some investor knowledge on you. So buckle up, grab your pen and paper, and enjoy the ride.
All right. Good morning and welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Investing Club. Today we have with us Matt DeBara. Matt is a fourth generation Mason. That's a hard one to say, who mixed his first bag of concrete at the age of 9 and went on to spend most of his childhood learning the trade, eventually placing second in the National Skills USA Masonry Competition. That sounds really cool. I want to learn about more about that as we get into the episode. But continuing on, after graduating, Matt took over his family's construction business and relocated to Los Angeles. Since then, he has built up DeBara Masonry to become the leading masonry and concrete company in the country. Matt's true passion, however, rests in educating the public with in-depth industry knowledge, much of which can be found in his upcoming book, The Undercover Contractor, How to Avoid Getting Screwed by Your Contractor, and his recent podcast, The Undercover Contractor Podcast. I'm super happy to have Matt on the show today. He has a lot of experience in the construction side of real estate, which everybody needs to know. So Matt, thank you very much for hopping on the show today. How are you?
Good, Gabe, man. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, the Skills USA Masonry competition, that sounds, I never knew there was that kind of competition. That's awesome.
I was a weird kid. I was like practicing laying brick on my Saturdays. And it was when you grow up in a family business like that, your childhood's a little different than most.
For sure. No, but before we get into that, I mean, it sounds like that is the start of your story. On the Real Estate Investing Club, we always start with the beginning. We like to see how people go from point A to point B. So take us back to the beginning. How'd you get started in real estate?
Yeah, so it's simple. My family, the lineage is a little bit unique. And that's why I was really, really glad you wanted to have me on, because I think I share a dual perspective. So my family my great grandfathers actually were real estate investors. Really before, I didn't even make this connection until like 3 or 4 years ago. They own land in multiple homes in Italy. And they had to sell everything during, the whole issue with, whatever was World War there, and they had to get out. So anyways, so a little fuzzy on the history, but the story is this: they came over here to America. They bought pieces of land because they couldn't afford homes. So they built their homes from the ground up, but they built multifamily homes, right? So they lived on one floor and they rented out the other two or three floors, some to family, some to friends. Wow. And so they always invested in real estate. But what happened was this really interesting thing happened was because they built the homes themselves, friends and family, they lived in these, basically outside of Boston, they lived in these Italian neighborhoods. People asked them, they said, look, they spoke the language, they felt comfortable. They said, hey, can you build me a wall? Can you build me a walkway? We've seen what you've done, right? You did it at your house. Can you do it? So it actually split from real estate to contracting, and throughout the lineage, my grandfather always said to my dad, to buy land, to buy, multifamily. My dad and my uncle, even as kids, but before they own cars, they own land. My dad actually took, not a lot of people know this, my dad took his student loans in the 80s when he didn't need it and bought land and real estate with it.
So smart.
it's an interesting kind of blend of, we grew this construction business, but what was really behind the scenes was the investing side. And I think that was, that's why I'm super passionate and love being here. Is like, I'm so passionate about where you put your money, because I saw the business cycles and I remember the comfort that my dad had knowing, you know, that they owned land, that they had investments that could weather these kind of flows, these natural ebbs and flows of business.
Yep, for sure. Now that's a really cool story. And I'm always jealous when I hear people who had, you know, generations and generations in their family who have experience in real estate, because man, that I'm sure you know, just growing up, you were surrounded by that knowledge and it just kind of seeped into you. Obviously you're doing great in your masonry contracting business right now. So it sounds like, I mean, you got that experience from your family. How'd you get into masonry? I mean, that Skills USA masonry competition, you were competing in masonry when you were younger. How did that all come about?
So that came about with two things, right? One of them was I had a lot of energy. and the other one was that my family had a business. So when I was a kid, my dad said, look, because this is what my grandfather did to him and my great-grandfathers did to my grandfather, was they were like, look, we don't care what you want to do in life. You're going to learn this trade. So you're going to invest the time to learn the business, whether or not you want to continue, it's up to you. So yeah, third grade, lots of energy. My mom's like, he's too young to work. Next summer, running around like crazy. She's like, take him. So that was day one.
Nice. I love it. And you placed second in that competition. I don't want to focus on this competition, but I've never heard of a competition in construction. So what did you just like build a wall and that's what the competition was, or how did this like go about?
Yeah. No one's ever asked me this really, but I love it. Basically, I went to a vocational high school. So we had a trade, which mine was masonry, and then you had traditional schooling. So you had to do both. And they had a national competition for this. And so you show up with a piece of paper, it's face down, and a stack of bricks and blocks, and you lift it up and they're like, this is what you're building. And you're like, okay. And they're like, by the way, you got 6 or 7 hours, I think it was. And that's at the national level how they did it.
That is so cool. I love it. Awesome. And so, I mean, since then you've obviously built up your own business, to be very successful down there in Los Angeles. And through that, I'm sure you've dealt with a lot of investors, a lot of people looking to do flips and all that type of that side of the real estate investing space. And I know just from this podcast, from talking with investors, from doing it myself, one of the most difficult things about, you know, flipping a house or just being in real estate in general is hiring a good contractor. It is so easy to get screwed by when you hire somebody who's just doesn't have the skills, who's not going to do the work, who's just not trustworthy. And so it can be a very stressful process to find a good contractor. You wrote the book on this, How to Not Get Screwed by Your Contractor. So give us kind of a high level. What are the gems that that you kind of give to people when you give advice on getting a good contractor?
Yeah, and even just to nail something down, right? I wrote the book because I know how important it is when you make an investment that you don't lose your investment, right? And one of the ways that you can do that, lose your investment, is purchase a property or a real estate related investment and then hire the wrong contractor. I've seen it so many times, right? And I've also seen it with homeowners. It's the same situation, right? You invest in your home. I mean, I don't know a ton of people that are independently wealthy where money doesn't matter. I haven't met too many of those. I don't know if I'm hanging around the wrong places, but I haven't met those, right? Nor do I feel like I'm that. So that was really the inspiration to write the book, right? Was like, I can't stand seeing people, you know, lose their hard-earned money, especially in an investment sense, right? Because then they turn around and like, well, this investing doesn't work. It's like, well, no, you had the wrong contractor. The investment wasn't bad. The contractor was bad, right? Yep. So I kind of want to be in the middle and broker this deal of like, look, like real estate investing, investing in your home, these are great things done properly. Yep.
I had a story. A friend of mine, actually, they were rehabbing their primary residence. It got burned down. They got insurance money and they were rehabbing it. They hired this contractor. He got all the way to the point where he was, you know, it was time to swing the hammer. He did all of the work. And then he just went to him and he said, actually, I don't have the skills to do this. Like, come on, man, you should have said that before. I mean, you've already put all this work in. We spent all this money. I mean, come on. It's something that I've seen happen many times with people. And so didn't mean to jump in there, but it's just a story, anecdotal story that I've had in my own experience here. So keep going. How do people find good contractors to hire.
Yeah, I love that. And I guarantee you, if we all sit and think for a moment, we all know somebody like that. I mean, that was literally what drove me to write this book. You know, it was like, I've seen all these different angles and I'm like, I feel like nobody on my, you know, the contracting side of the fence, no one wants to pull back the curtain and say, here's all our vulnerabilities and the ways to prevent you from ever doing this. So, you know, the book is really about, because I spent a lot of time kind of reflecting. So I went from laying bricks on Saturdays and Sundays to, you know, in my adult life here at the beach or wherever I am being like, well, what's the problem with this whole dilemma? I'm at the beach, my girlfriend's running around and I'm like sitting there like, okay, well, why is it that like, you know, so the first thing I realized was, and it's the foundation for the book, is that there is a process, a roadmap. And when you understand, you know, the roadmap, you can know where you are relative to where you want to go. So the process is this. You have to find the contractors, vet them, hire them, and manage them. If you take away nothing else, this is a huge, huge piece, right? Because you know what stage you're in, and then it's like little buckets. You can say, all right, I don't need to think about anything else. Sometimes it gets a little overwhelming, especially when you're not thinking in buckets. It's like you got one contractor, he's already setting your contract, he or she, and you're still on the find page. And so what we do, right, and it's not wrong, but what we traditionally do is we're doing all these phases at once, except for the manage, because that's after you've signed a contract. But you're finding your vet, and it gets all tangled together in this one woven ball. And so what I said is, look, let's focus on doing this in buckets systematically, like they do in a production line in a factory, right? It's really efficient. You know, you got a section that builds doors, puts the door on the car. You got a section that puts the rib. Like, it's easier to focus on one part of the bigger system.
Yep.
So, you know, the find phase, high level, right? The find phase is where you're adding to your list, right? You're building out the companies that you're going to call. And I go over the criteria in the book.
Yep. So you're going through Google, you're finding everybody who has good ratings. You're like, you know, AAA construction. This is one person I'm going to do for my electrical. This is one person I'm going to do for my plumbing. Yeah. All that kind of thing.
Exactly. And there's tips and tricks, right? One of them is always start with your, what I call your power base or your referrals. So I'll give some gold nuggets here, high level to really, my hope is that, you know, I can avoid people a lot of pain, but, you know, start with your power base, your referrals. But be careful with those. Make sure that when you're asking friends and family, or if you're new to an area, let's say you just moved to California from Seattle, right? What do? Well, you go to the barbershop, you start talking to people, but you want to make sure that it's the exact same service. This is like pitfall number one for referrals is, you know, they did my flooring contractors. This is a common story, right? Example, company does hardwood flooring, right? You get a referral, but you're looking to put in laminate.
Yep.
Flooring is not flooring, right? You need the same exact service. Somebody's putting in remodeling a bathroom versus a big kitchen might be different. You want same service. The vet phase, you want to think about, this is where you're taking people off the list. So find is from, you know, this conversation to...
You're building out the list, you're adding to the list, and then you're vetting it down. You're whittling that giant list down to something manageable, right?
Yeah. And how is that done? Right. That's done through basically the find phase is when you pick up the phone, or excuse me, the vet phase is when you pick up the phone to call. At that point, they're on the chopping block. You're using the criteria that I give to kind of say, all right, should I move forward? Should I not? I have a concept called yellow flags and red flags. A red flag, if it happens, and I talk about this in the book, is they're done. Right. So they don't show, no call.
They didn't know what a hammer was, something like that.
Yeah. Crazy stuff. But what's more important, I think, because a lot of us can identify red flags, you know, I put them in the book because I think it's important to remind us, but I've reverse engineered hundreds of instances of what you just told me, that story, right? And when we sit down and break that down, what you'll notice is there's these little tiny crumbs along the way, like little gold nuggets. And it's like, if you're moving quickly, you'll miss them. But in hindsight, you see them. And so the foundation of the book is, well, how do we know, you know, these little yellow flags, and enough yellow flags equal a red flag. So we talk about kind of what they are and how to avoid those.
I love it. So you have your giant list, you're going through Google.
Oh, you're good. You're good.
Yep. It's all good. You have created your list and then you're whittling it down. You start with your red flag. Well, you start with your referrals. Those are the big ones. And then you whittle them down. You cut out the red flags, the one are obviously not a good fit. And then you go and you go through with a fine comb tooth and you look at the yellow flags, the little things that might indicate that they would be a bad hire. So awesome. You're on Fine, you're on Vet. Now, how do you go about, what suggestions do you have for hiring?
So hiring is where you have your contract, right? So you're looking at the agreement itself, and there's a couple areas. So hopefully you've narrowed it down to one, maximum two contractors. And there's a lot of things. I mean, there's, how to check references, how to read reviews, what is a good review? How do you set up references, a reference check? There's so many. I have a script for how to ask for references and what to do next. So
love it.
There's a lot there that we won't cover right now, but the foundation is this: your hire phase is when you've taken the process and you've got it down to one, max two people, you're saying, send me the agreement so I can look it over.
Okay. And then, the last stage is manage.
Manage, exactly. So the manage is what I call the 3.5 S's. So the 3.5 S's is safety, schedule, standard, and then the dollar sign, which is the half S.
Safety. Wait, go through that again.
Yep. So safety, is the job site safe throughout the duration? Right. What does safety mean? Well, if you're doing something in the front of my house, can I get in and out? Where do I park my car? That's safety. Schedule is, what is the duration of the project? I talk about how you should have already had this in writing. Then standards is so important. This is what your unique standards are relative to the contractor. So you might be okay if they eat lunch on your front lawn and throw the pickles out of the sandwich into your neighbor's bush, right? You might be okay with that, or you might not. So we talk about how to set those standards and how to manage those standards. And then the dollar signs is the payment schedule.
Makes sense. And standards, I've heard of safety and schedule before in managing contractors. Standards is a good one, because nobody really brings that forward. But, each person does have their own, social standard of what they would expect behavior to be like from contractors working on their site. And it's really important if you want to just kind of feel that you are being respected by the contractor. And as the contractor yourself, I'm sure if your client feels respected by you, they're going to refer you to more people, and they're going to hire you for additional work. So I like that you brought that up. So find, vet, hire, manage. I love it. So that's your 4-step process for finding a good contractor and not getting screwed, like so many, horror stories that we hear out there. So the next question, a lot of what you just said, it sounds like it's very oriented towards subs. So you would be acting as the GC and you'd be subbing out all the individual work. What kind of advice would you give for somebody trying to decide, they bought this flip, they're ready to do the work, and they're trying to decide whether they want to do a GC or sub it out individually, and then that they would act as the GC?
Yeah. So this model, and I probably should have said this in the beginning, so that model is for, it works best for a GC actually, right? So the same process applies. You got to call them, you got to build your list of GCs, you got to vet them using certain criteria, you need to hire them, they have an agreement. And we talk about that in the book too. So the question of whether or not you should be your own GC, it depends on your background. I think I've found very few instances where, if you have the right general contractor, what I call a square peg in a square hole, right? Truly the right contractor, where you're better off doing it yourself, where your time's best served there, unless that's your passion and you enjoy it. If you enjoy it, well, then there's an added X factor. But
yeah, so if you're an architect and you just like being on the job site, you like managing that, it makes a lot of sense. But I can say from experience, being a GC is no cakewalk. It's definitely babysitting. You really got to be on site. And so I personally would recommend anybody listening to the show, if you're doing flips, hire a GC, don't sub it out. You might save a few dollars if you sub it out, but in my opinion, the time value headache right there goes for the GC for sure.
Yeah. And one of, I think, the golden nuggets, right, to help make that decision just really quick, is that there's no economies of scale. If I'm a GC, right, and I'm working with this plumber and we're doing hundreds of jobs throughout the year, I have leverage. I have a relationship. If you hire the plumber, right, and you're like, hey, I want to put in two sinks, you have very low leverage, right? They don't have a lot to lose. If they upset that GC, they're going to lose the other 98 sinks, throughout the year. With you, it's like, well, hey, I'll just find another customer, right? So there's a relationship factor there that you want to leverage as well.
Yep. I love it. All right. Well, hey, we have blasted through our 20-minute mark, so I got to push us into the quick question round. Are you ready?
Ready.
All right. We always start with books. So give me two book recommendations, one for general life wisdom and one for real estate in general.
Real estate in general, general life more wisdom. Specific, yeah, I love it. I mean, I loved Think and Grow Rich. That was a good one for me. That was a real good one. I think, you know, what is it? Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki for real estate investing kind of painted the framework in a simple way for me. So that's it.
Yeah, that book has been recommended so many times on the show, and for good reason. It gives you a great overview of what it's like and why you would want to invest. If you guys out there listening, watching, haven't read it, new to investing, pick it up. I've said this many times. I'm sure you're tired of hearing Rich Dad, Poor Dad, but I'm serious. It's a good book. Pick it up. You'll love it. Moving on to the next one, and this one is for your younger self. If you could go back to the Matt who was just competing in the masonry competition, you know, he hadn't started his own business. He hadn't bought any property, anything like that. Go back to him, give him one piece of advice moving forward.
Think bigger.
I love it. Think bigger. I'm writing these down because I like the advice people give on the show. Next one. This one might not be specific to your type of investing, but I always like to ask, you know, the United States is a huge place, millions or hundreds of thousands of square miles. If you could point to one area in the US that you feel has a lot of potential and you're really excited about investing, what area would that be?
There's a few of them. Florida's got some good areas. I think the Tampa area, right around Tampa in Florida.
Yep, I've heard a lot of people say Tampa for some reason. I mean, I know the numbers in Florida have been great, and there's hundreds of mobile home parks and RV parks in Florida, so I always see those deals. But man, Tampa's people really like Tampa. I got to look into that more. All right, next question. This one is a little opportunity for you to brag and flex your muscles a little bit. Everybody has a superpower. Everybody has a strength that they uniquely can contribute to the world. What would yours be?
I think it's setting a flag on the mountain, just having a vision and getting people to see that, you know, it's not anything that I do. It's just a gift that I have is like, well, why have you thought of this? It's like putting the flag up there.
I love it. All right. And last question, this one's for the listeners. You've given us a lot of good advice about construction, about finding a good contractor and hiring them and not getting screwed. What is the best way for somebody to reach out and get in contact with you?
Yeah. I mean, you can email me directly, MattD@theundercovercontractor, www.theundercovercontractor.com. All the socials is The Undercover Contractor. Pretty easily accessible.
Easy peasy. All right. I will put that link in the show notes. So if anybody wants to reach out to Matt, ask him a question, talk about the book, I will put that down there. All you got to do is just click that little more in the description. It'll pop down the full description, and in there you can find Matt's link. Awesome, Matt. So thank you very much for hopping on the show today.
Thanks, Gabe. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. And for everybody who's here with us today, thank you guys for showing up. You are the reason that we do this, so we appreciate having you here. As always, if you guys have any questions, reach out to us, therealestateinvestingclub.com. Other than that, I hope you guys have an absolutely fantastic week. Keep rocking real estate, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Real Estate Investing Club. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode as much as I enjoyed putting it on and were able to pull some actionable advice that you can apply in your own investing today in the field. Before you go, we have a gift for you. If you're a new investor looking to get started or an established investor looking to invest, take your investing to the next level, I've created an ebook just for you available on our website. This ebook will cover how I was able to create both active and passive income in real estate with very little money to start with. In it, I will address the three most often cited obstacles new and veteran investors run into by showing you how to find deals that are actually deals, how to finance a deal with little to no money down, and how to exit those deals for maximum value. And if you get the ebook today, I am throwing in a bundle of bonuses, 7 of them to be exact. The first one will be the off-market lead generation blueprint, which will take you through the exact systems and processes we use to generate off-market leads like clockwork, which is the most important skill when it comes to creating wealth in real estate. The second bonus is the A to Z REI systems and vendors guide, which will allow you to peek under the hood of our business and see the exact tools, systems, and even the vendors we use to see the success that we do
And the third bonus is the top 100 best performing keywords pack, which will give you the exact keywords we used to target motivated sellers online using PPC ads. The fourth bonus is our contracts bundle for wholesaling and renting real estate, which will give you access to all the contracts we use in the field to execute all different types of transactions. After that is the investor's quick analysis calculator and offer tool, which will allow you to quickly calculate whether a deal is an actual deal and will allow you to create an offer automatically from those calculations. This is a lot of bonuses that I said. I'm just going to keep going down the list. Number six is the investor's daily success tracker, which is a tracker you can use to ensure you are taking the right actions day in and day out to reach your financial goals in real estate. And the last bonus is the wholesaler's template for quick assignment cash, which will give you the templates we use to present our wholesale deals professionally and efficiently to our buyers. Whew, that is a bundle. So it's a mouthful. You get all of those bonuses for free when you download the ebook. All we charge is the admin cost to run the show. So if you're interested in the ebook and the bonus bundle, head on over to the website at therealestateinvestingclub.com. Click on Get the Ebook Bundle at the top of the page to take advantage of that deal. And with that said, I hope you have a fantastic day and even better week. Keep rocking real estate, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.
All right, before I officially sign off, I have a quick announcement to make. If you're interested in becoming a passive investor in one of my deals, my own company, Kaizen Properties, is looking for capital partners for our upcoming projects. We invest in what are known as recession-resistant assets, mainly self-storage facilities, mobile home and RV parks, and industrial properties. If you're interested in investing and would like to learn a little bit more about my company, our investing criteria, and some of the previous projects we've done, go to the Real Estate Investing Club podcast at therealestateinvestingclub.com and scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page. Click on the Invest With Us button. That'll pop up the investor form. Fill that out and we will reach back out to you as soon as we can. Or if you prefer a little bit more of a personal touch, you can reach out to me at gabe@therealestateinvestingclub.com. So really, that is it. Again, it was a pleasure hanging out with you guys during this episode, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.